This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Hello there, how you doing? It's Kevin Riley here, and welcome to Irish Time here, pardon me, here on the Manawatu People's Radio in Palmerston North. On yet another, it's not a bad Friday. I've been lucky in the last few weeks. It has been weather, you know, it's cold, extremely cold, I think. But blue sky and kind of, you know, dry. Anyway, here we go. Belfast Trad Fest, top of the traditional map. This is traditional music. One of my favourite, it's one like a hobby of mine. I like listening to Irish music, basically, you know, traditional stuff. Anyway, thousands of people are expecting in Belfast for a week-long celebration of Irish traditional music that one musician said is becoming top of the pops for the genre. According to Shane Mitchell, told BBC Northern Ireland, that Belfast is a traditional music hotspot, which is great to hear. He plays with Dervish, who will open the festival at the Ulster Hall there on last Sunday. Belfast Tradfest, now in its seventh year, is running for a week from Sunday the 3rd of August till the 3rd of August. Anyway, festival art director Donald O'Connor said he looked forward to bringing people from all sorts of backgrounds together to celebrate the very best of our cultural traditions. Donald and his team have organised over 450 events. Wow. Over the week, featuring more than 500 musicians from across 33 Belfast venues, pubs and cultural spaces. Good on them. From world-class concerts and intimate sessions to Kayleigh's workshops, talks and family-friendly events, there is truly something for everyone. This includes masterclasses in Irish music and dancing, concerts, pub sessions, and a Highland piping competition. Passengers getting the train at Grand Central Station or people visiting the Titanic Museum may get the chance to catch be caught up in the middle of a pot-up Kayleigh, whatever that is. Pop-up, that's a pop-up. The focus then switches to the Ulster Hall at 7 o'clock to collaborate a concert by seasoned Irish traditional group Dervish, contemporary group Notify, and the Irish Concertina Orchestra. That'll be interesting, concertina orchestra. Irish band have been at the forefront of the traditional music scene since 1989, when four of its founding members met in a pub in Sligo. Notify are a six-piece band, industrial instrumental ensemble whose new album features 40 musicians under the age of 18 from the Irish Concertina Orchestra. Wow, that's a lot of people. Dervish's co-founder and traditional Shane Mitchell told the BBC Northern Ireland News he is looking forward to returning to the Irish traditional hotspot, and that is Belfast. Belfast is a great city, really fun to visit. It's one of the first places we played at our Belfast Folk Festival 36 years ago. Well, that's gone back some time. Although this is his first Tradfest, he said he admired how the festival had shot up so quickly. He said fans attending Sunday's concert could expect some vintage tracks and a unique Belfast sort of sound, let's put it that way. With a mixture of groups and age and generations, it should be a very special event. The band are staying in Belfast for the week to help lead the workshops running during the day at the Ulster University in Belfast. It's down by the York Street. It's very unusual for us to stay more than one night in any one place, which gives you an indication how much we respect Belfast Tradfest and its festival. If you are around, come up and say hello. And if you're amazing, come and have a tune-up. Come and join us. Get on the stage, have a bit of crack, etc., etc. After years of honing his accordion skills, Shane said he would like to pass on different bits and pieces to the younger musicians at Tradfest. I value the phasing styles and orientation I picked up from the older musicians when I was first starting out. And I'd like to pass that on now that I'm older. Anyway, that there sounds like A really good bit of a hula, a bit of a concert going on in all those pubs and stuff like that. I think if I was back in Belfast myself, I would make it my mission to go and get to a few of those sessions, because there's nothing like it. You know, yes, bit of life and soul into the party. It is, but it makes you feel alive again. And takes your mind off any problems you may or may not have. Right, what have we got here? Ireland's exports to Russia have surged to their highest level since 2015. This is despite the ongoing war in Ukraine. According to the Central Statistics Office, Irish goods exported to Russia reached nearly 398 million euros, which is a lot of money, in the first 5 months of 2025, surpassing the figure recorded at any time since it began tracking such data a decade ago. The rise in trade has drawn strong criticism from the Ukrainian government, Irish continued activity is indefensible. Well, it is. It's kind of, they're having a boycott, and I think the Irish government, in fact, is all for supports Ukraine and anti-Russian. And then, just on the other hand, they've got all this going on the other side. The trade. Unfortunately, that's the kind of world we live in, isn't it? Kind of money counts for everything. Sort of compassion and all that there, and sympathy just kind of falls off the ladder, and it's all about making money or not making money. And then you say, you got to keep jobs going, et cetera, et cetera. Quality of life, standard of living, et cetera, et cetera. But someday, you've got to make a stand, and really, what do you stand for? And what do you believe in? Anyway, in a statement, the embassy said that there is no moral, political, or economic justification for maintaining commercial ties with a country engaged in what is described as a brutal and illegal war of aggression, which I agree with. It is brutal and illegal. Every euro and every product sent to Russia strengthens its capacity to kill, destroy, and destabilize not only Ukraine but the entire European continent, which is some sympathy for that view in the European Union. It is indefensible to supply money and goods to a regime that openly defies the rules-based international order. The growth in exports has been driven mainly by medicinal and pharmaceutical products. Yeah, because like I said before, the Republic of Ireland is an absolutely huge, huge manufacturer of drugs, basically, pharmaceuticals. The capacity is absolutely enormous. That's why even Donald Trump is trying to shut them down in some way and bring the jobs back to America, because most of the companies in the South are American-owned, and their headquarters, they've got headquarters in Dublin, but the real action, the business side of things, is basically in New York. But the drug trade is huge in the Republic of Ireland.
In Christchurch on Colombo Street, there is an Irish pub selling New Zealand breweries, Irish stout, and Watty's Irish grub. Well, the music rollicked and rattled and reached the patrons from afar. Once they'd crossed the empty space between the doorway and the bar. Well, I guess the band was finding its feet, not having the best of nights. But they knew with just a little time they'd move to greater heights. Yeah! Oh, and on that fateful Saturday night, with 20 minutes to go, oh, Danny boy, to a crowd of three, seen the end of the show. And it's Bongo Billy,
fish and chips,
and singing an Irish song.
Well,
we're happy to say,
we're on our way,
we must be moving on. Well, we're happy to say, we're on our way, we must be moving on. But the boss, he scowled at the bar and sent a lackey with his greeting, saying he'll be playing that extra 20 minutes the next time we'll be meeting.
20 minutes!
Well, the singer, he felt a trifle peeved, but he went with calm and grace, and he said to the boss, if you've something to say, please say it to our face. But communicating with respect was not the boss's strength.
Telecom.
So he cut right in and began to spout his grievance at some length. Then the drummer decided to do his bit and up for his mate. But the boss bit back like an angry shark, hungry for the bait. And it's Bongo Billy,
Bongo Billy,
a
fish and chips,
fish and chips,
and sing an Irish song.
Sing an Irish
well, we're
song.
Happy to say,
happy to say,
run away,
run away.
We must be moving on. Well, we're happy to say we're on our way. We must be moving on. Well, it soon became apparent to see his grief was something more than 20 minutes and the sound of a drum as he showed us his front door. Well, get your long hair out of here, he said with fists of rage.
Oi, mate, oi, it's good along here.
But his fists were clenched around his heart, clutching it in their cage. Now the band and the gear are out on the street. Not a single cab in the land. And lugging it home or sleeping on top was not what they had planned.
Right.
And for a skinhead with flowery pants and a bloke with a long hair kilt and tats, the odds of a lift in the middle of the night were not exactly fat. And this
Bongo Billy
and fish and chips
and
singing an Irish song. Well, we're happy to say, on our way, must be moving on. Yes, we're happy to say we're on our way, we must be moving on. So here we are in an Irish pub, singing Irish songs, to be sure.
To be sure.
To be sure.
To be sure. Yes. Well, here we are in an Irish pub, singing Irish songs. Something's changed, some stay the same, but I know we're moving on. And it's to-ra-loo-ra-loo-ra-lay, ha-ra-diddly-doo-diddly-doo. Well, the taste of bread and butter depends on what you put in the middle.
Hey!
And it's Bongo Billy,
and
fish and chips,
fish and chips,
and singing an Irish song. Well, we're happy to say,
happy to say,
we're on our way, we must be moving on. Well, we're happy to say, we're on our way, we must be moving on. Hey! Thank you.
Oh, this is something of interest. Northern Ireland has launched its first self-driving electric shuttle bus in the Belfast Titanic Quarter. The 8-seater vehicle, known as a Hardlander, began its service there this July, running every 20 minutes on a one-mile loop. The Highlander connects Titanic Halt Railway Station to the Catalyst Tech Campus. I don't understand that at all. I don't know where the campus is. The service is entirely free to the public during its trial period. Designed to tackle the last-minute gap in public transport, the shuttle aims to link existing infrastructure with businesses and educational hubs. Though the bus drives itself, a safety operator always remains on board, seated where a traditional driver would be, just to step in if something goes wrong. This blend of autonomy and oversight is part of a cautious rollout from Belfast Harbour and its tech partners. The right-hand drive vehicle, electric vehicle, was custom-built by Austrian-based company and tested extensively by somewhere in England, in Coventry in England. Gavin Jackson from ORX, the company behind the software deal, described the bus's navigation as superhuman. It's kind of a bit of a worry, isn't it? You think about all this AI, and all this stuff is AI and superhuman. I wonder where we go as human beings, that we're going to be, we're getting down the list, but we will never be supplanted. We're always going to be, you know, humans, first and foremost. Equipped with cameras, radar, and laser sensors, the bus creates a constantly updating geometric map of the surroundings. We fuse all that together into information and use to build a plan to plan the way the vehicle is going. He emphasised that the bus can see in ways no human drivers can. That's interesting. Particularly in poor weather conditions like rain or fog. AI has been trained using data collected from Belfast streets and typical pedestrian behaviour. This data was fed into a cloud-based simulation model to help the software understand and safely navigate the local environment. Mike Dawson, Belfast Harbour Director of People and Digital Transformation. Isn't it amazing the titles people have today? Director of People and Digital Transformation. Called the bus a groundbreaking project and a key piece of the harbour's smart port strategy. Autonomy is going to play a big part in supporting current public infrastructure, he said. This is the future of transportation. That's a bit of a concern, I think. I still like to see a bus driver or a conductor on board. Gives you that sense of security that there's someone there if something goes wrong, you know. Anyway, it doesn't acknowledge that the new technology can raise concerns, but emphasises its safety-first approach. Right. It's fairly understandable. Understandable that would be a bit nervous, as they still prefer to have a human being on board in control if necessary. 8 weeks of intensive safety testing preceded the public launch, and the goal now is to monitor the passenger experience closely. Feedback from riders will help shape future projects, both in Belfast and potentially across the other parts of Northern and Britain. Dawson described the current loop of four stops as a model and a blueprint for how things will pan out in the future. So it's going to be interesting to follow all that. Anyway, what got here? Belfast Pride. Belfast Pride struck a defiant note and as it held its annual parade in the city on Saturday. Pride's 2025 theme was Not Going Back. Was organised, it said, was chosen because they believe that their rights are under attack here and across the world. You know, that's gay and lesbian organisations. Stormont's four executive parties, Sinn Féin, DUP, Alliance and UPP, were told by Pride organisers that they were not welcome at the parade because of their support for a ban on puberty blockers for under-18s. The parade started at Custom House Square in the city centre and made its way through the city centre before finishing up there in Victoria Street. Organisers said they hoped the parade showed the trans community that they were supported and that Belfast stood for all. Belfast Pride stood for everyone. There was plenty of colour and music, and the parade made its way to City Hall. A counter-protest was held by church groups, of course. It's Belfast, what do you expect? Church groups. fundamentalists. But police kept protesters separated from the main parade. There weren't that many, by the way, at the protest. The wider festival has been running since July the 19th. The festival cooper Neil McDockett and Lynn Miller said the not going back theme made a clear message. As we celebrate how far we have come, we stand here in our commitment to keep moving forward towards love, equality and justice for everyone in our community. It is. It's just amazing. First Minister Michelle O'Neill said she was, said her party was not permitted to march in because of the puberty blockers ban. Sinn Féin deputy leader said it would still celebrate pride in its own way. Stormont's agricultural minister and Alliance MP, Andrew Muir, who is gay, took part in the Belfast parade in a personal capacity. The majority of pride parades across Northern Ireland took a similar decision and asked the executive parties not to attend. Meanwhile, the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service said it would not be participating in Belfast Pride in an official organisational capacity. It said its staff were welcome to attend voluntarily as part of their, you know, their lives. The BBC Northern Ireland's Nolan Show understands that the bodies received legal counsel that they should not be seen participating in a protest against departmental policy. That'd be like the ambulance people and other groups, I would imagine. Speaking to BBC Good Morning Ulster, she defended the decision to exclude executive parties from taking part in the parade. We're acting on what our trans community wanted us to do. What's the mean they didn't want them to take part? You'd want more people on board, the better, you know. Pride has always been a protest. It started out as riots. We're not going back to that. We celebrate pride as well, but there will always be a political element when it comes to human rights, and I'm not going to apologise for that. Life is political, my dear. Life is political. And I'll finish up on this here because I've got to go. I'm going to a funeral very shortly. Michael O'Leary, the outspoken Ryanair leader, is setting his sights on the future for the airline while also beginning to map out a path for his successor, it would seem. I've no desire to leave in 2028. O'Leary's target is to lead Ryanair to 300 million passengers annually. 300 million passengers annually by 2034. A goal tied closer to securing a major aircraft order from Boeing, Airbus, and possibly Chinese manufacturer Comac. Achieving that, he predicts, could see the airline delivering profits of 3 to 4 billion euros a year. While he remains committed to leading Ryanair towards that goal, succession plans are already underway. He has name-checked four younger leaders, all in their 30s and 40s, who he believes are well-placed to take over. These individuals, he said, are already driving much of the airline's day-to-day business performance. O'Leary dismissed the idea of recruiting an external candidate from other major companies, other airlines really, saying Ryanair's internal talent pool is far better suited to its unique business model. You can't exactly go to another airline like Aer Lingus, BA or Lufthansa, who are smaller than us. He has emphasised that any future CEO should compete for the role, but acknowledged that internal candidates would hold an advantage. Ryanair's next generation of leadership, with an average age of around 40, was really being groomed for the top roles. He said, underlying that, the broad annual review succession plans are there in case of any unexpected changes. Outside the airline matters, O'Leary remained as combative a visitor. He ruled out a run for the Irish presidency, good, calling it an overpaid non-job, and voice frustration with the Irish government. It's sort of Ireland's vision of Donald Trump, really. He's a kind of a lawny himself, really. Anyway, I have to go now, so I'm sorry about that, but I will be back next week, so right, because I've got to bail out now and shoot off and go to a funeral, which is going to start in about less than an hour. Until then, till next week, you take care. And be kind to one another, all right? And enjoy the weather we're enjoying, which the rest of the country, it seems, is not enjoying. You know, it's not pouring with rain and gale force winds and thunder, etc., etc. Until that, next week, take care. Love ya.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.